Well, mine is to not be as harsh to John Obi Mikel in the new year.
I'm sure he appreciates that.
Yeah, because the reason why is because I hope he's on another team.
That's right, yeah.
This is the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast with your hosts, Andrew Laird and Mike Gottlieb.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. It is Tuesday, December 30th, which means that we survived, me and Andrew Laird, survived Black Monday, where apparently everyone was getting fired. NFL, Premier League, doesn't matter. So welcome back to another day on the job, Andrew. Congratulations. How do you feel?
I feel great. There's nothing like getting through a black whatever yesterday was. Black Monday and making it.
So for the news here, Neil Warnock of Crystal Palace is gone. Rumored to be replaced by Alan Pardew, which means that the Newcastle job will open as well. Mm-hmm. And,
Irvine got canned as well.
West Brom is now open. So that's, we'll be talking about that all throughout the podcast because I believe there's a big fantasy opportunity there. Mm-hmm. And all things Crystal Palace and West Brom and transfer rumors and all sorts of stuff coming up today. We'll go around the league for the New Year's Day games, and then we will do our dailyos with DraftKings as well. And I just want to throw it out there. I did finish in the top 100 of the 100,000 people that entered the other day. So
well done. Well done.
Feel pretty happy about myself, which included a Danny Welbeck goal. Just throwing that out there for Chris Mozinski when he listens to this. All right, so let's start with our New Year's Day games. I'm not sure how many people in America will be waking up at 7:45 in the morning to watch Stoke City at the Britannia face off against Manchester United, but there's a lot of fantasy stuff here. I wrote about a lot of Manchester United the past few weeks on my articles, and not much about Stoke, but an interesting guy to talk about for Stoke is Boyan. And we've talked about him as Kirky with a question mark before, but we'll talk about him as his real name now, but... So there's Boyan and then also Mama Juf. Do you have faith in either of them against Manchester United?
Not a ton. It's one of those that, like, if they score, it's most likely coming from those two. I'm sure you'll throw Peter Crouch in there as well.
But you betcha.
Diouf and Boyan are probably the top choices. I'll stick up for Chris a little bit here because he also thought Diouf was a good call and he had a brace was that the weekend or Boxing Day?
Sunday.
Yeah, on the weekend. So, good call, Chris. That being said, I don't really like either of them against Manchester United. Stoke have been, decent at home. They're certainly better there. And we had previously talked about how physical they can be when they're at home. They showed that against Chelsea, where I thought they played pretty well. The problem is they lost 2-0. And I'm not sure they have nearly the strength to keep... RVP and Rooney and Falcao out as well. Theoretically, we could see some squad rotation after a decently long stretch for United. Louis van Gaal has been kind of bitching about the condensed schedule as if he had no idea it existed until 2 weeks ago. But he commented that they kind of lost steam at the end of the Tottenham match, which ended as a scoreless draw. That being said, I'm not sure, we're going to see significant turnover. Angel Di Maria is probably going to miss out, which leaves Juan Mata back there still. And I assume they're going to keep playing him as long as they can because Di Maria probably replaces him when he returns. But RVP is probably the one I think that has the best possibility of sitting.
And I'm just going to throw in some nonsense. You'll see the articles up on the website now for the window watching or window shopping. But the rumors for Gareth Bale over 100 million euros or 100 million pounds as well to Manchester United just will not stop. First of all, from a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think? How likely do you think it's going to happen? And then also, if he does join, is there – I mean, I wrote saying that everyone takes a step down in fantasy relevance just because I don't think there's enough goals to go around and enough dribbles to go around. But – What would you project as in terms of who would play and where would they play? That'd be a very crowded front six now.
Yeah. I think on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a -7.
Okay.
The way I look at it is I'm not sure why Bale would want to make the move. I mean, I understand that there's a little more money in it for him, but there's probably not that much more money. So you know, there's probably plenty for his agent. You know, they always get a cut of the transfer, but I don't understand why Bale. Right, I don't understand why Bale would want to leave. You know, he's already one of the highest paid players in the world, and he's playing for a team that is going for a second straight Champions League. You know, they're dominating. They've dominated 2014. He's been a solid part of that. Obviously, Ronaldo's the biggest one there. But
Bale scored the game winning goal
right, in the Champions League. I see zero reasons to come back to England for Bale. So, you know, obviously money's the only reason he would come back. He seems perfectly content in Spain. The game, I think, there is a little more fluid, which plays into his skill set. You know, he's going to be more successful there, both team and individually. So, yeah, I see no reason to come back, certainly to United. That being said, if it happens, I think Wayne Rooney's value stays because I think they're playing him centrally now. They're basically playing him in that Di Maria role. And Van Gaal kind of said how much he likes playing Rooney more in the midfield than attacking. But theoretically, you could play, I think Di Maria and Mata are the ones that are in trouble if it happens. Because you could play Rooney and then you could, you know, behind a three-man front of Bale, Van Persie, and Falcao.
And if you're Angel Di Maria, you have to be thinking, what do I have to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Bale goes to Real Madrid, supplants Angel Di Maria, and then he goes back. If he goes to Manchester United to supplant Angel Di Maria, that would just be cruel. That'd be funny. The narrative is probably outweighs the reality, though, unfortunately for that one. But let's move on to the other Manchester team. Manchester City are at home against Sunderland. Sunderland, by the way, have kept 5 clean sheets in their past 8 games, and the one time that I picked them to have one, it didn't happen. In fact, Pantelimon had negative points that week. It was a really good got-cursed moment there. But Manchester City had a very disappointing second half against Burnley, much to the chagrin of Manchester City fans, but much to the delight of all Chelsea fans. Is Stefan Jovetic going to come back now January 1st, and is he the presence they need up front?
I mean, they were scoring fine without him. That 2-goal lead that they had, seemed like it could have easily gone to 7. And what an incredible collapse in the second half against a Burnley side that really had no business scoring once, let alone twice. I think they do start getting Jovetic back in there just to get them, you know, back into the idea of playing with a striker, since Dzeko and Aguero are going to come back, you know, within the month. So I think Jovetic probably does get back in there. Yaya Toure is still kind of banged up with his groin injury. And if he sits, you know, it makes sense to have Jovetic in there as another attacking option. David Silva is starting to worry me a little bit. I ranked him very highly, but he's played a lot of matches recently. And if Toure sits, it's kind of tough for me to see them sitting, you know, resting him as well. So maybe he starts and plays 60 minutes if they can get a lead. But I think Jovetic does get back in the starting 11. I think Silva plays. And the wild card here is Frank Lampard, who could be playing in his last Premier League match, although you don't want to believe it, but I think he's got probably 19 more to go.
Yeah, we know Manchester City is going to find some sort of loophole there, which everyone knew was going to happen if he had played even remotely well. Anyway, for me, Manchester City, the more interesting part to me is what are they going to do defensively? And as a side note, I actually was playing against George Boyd last week in IEFSA, the new whatever the league is now called.
Yep.
But I thought I was catching a break because I wasn't playing against Nathaniel Klein and a couple other stalwarts, and wound up playing against George Boyd, which killed me. But other than that, though, Manchester City defensively, I wonder how they're going to react and what are they going to do against Sunderland, who's not an offensive juggernaut, we'll put it that way. And I'm wondering if there'll be changes on the back line. For example, would Alexander Kolarov make a start here?
Yeah, he's kind of the wild card in all of this, because we've spoken previously about how good he is offensively for a defender. And it all comes down to whether they want to play him or Gael Clichy. Clichy was playing very well before he picked up an injury of his own, but he's back now, and so it's kind of choosing between one of the two of them to play on the other side of Pablo Zabaleta. Zabaleta is an interesting case because he gets he gets rested completely. You know, when he doesn't play, like they don't tend to leave him on the bench when they give Bakary Sagna a start. I don't think that happens this time around. I think they gotta leave Zabaleta in there. But Kolarov, I think, is a wonderful fantasy option if he starts. You know, he's fairly high priced in most daily leagues.
Second highest this
year. Yeah, I mean, the price is deserving of when he plays, but you know, he doesn't always play, so there's that. You always have that caveat of not being able to set your lineup that early because he might just be on the bench.
Which is, it's just shocking. But do you think Sunderland has a chance to keep City out or no?
No, no chance.
Okay. That means that I will, if volatility states that Kostel Pantelimon is a good start then. No, I'm just kidding. No, seriously, if you start Kostel Pantelimon, I guarantee you, you'll get any points you get, no one else is going to get.
Yeah.
Because no one else is starting him.
Yeah.
And I still think that there's value in the Sunderland defense, just not this week.
Yeah. Well, he could, you know, he could get the 6 or 7 saves this weekend. He could give up 4 or 5 goals is the problem.
That's certainly true. So if he gives up those goals, he can actually venture into negative points, which you certainly don't want.
No. All right, usually not.
No. At least not this week. Let's move on to Liverpool at home against Leicester. Adam Lallana scored a fortunate goal on Sunday. he's still pretty cheap in most daily formats.
Two goals.
Yeah. 2 goals. I really am only counting one, though. But do you feel like there's value to him yet, or no? Is he too inconsistent?
I think he's the inconsistency with Lallana is playing time. It's not a lack of production when he plays. So I think he's absolutely valuable when he starts. So, and he seems to be inching closer to that starting job. I mean, he started, I think, three or four matches in a row now. In fact, it may even be more than that. So I think he's definitely got some value. I'm looking now, he's got 2 goals and 2 assists in his last 4 games. He takes multiple shots a game. Gets a few on target. I mean, if we're looking at the Liverpool attacking options, we're basically looking at Lallana and Sterling, and I think Sterling is certainly, right, he is much more heavily priced than Lallana, so I'll take the guy who's producing more and costing less.
That's always what you want. So I mean, you can't really complain there with that logic. For me, the whole Liverpool conundrum is, what do they do in the transfer market? The rumors are getting stronger now that Sato Berahino, especially now with Alan Irvine gone, who was the one person who was saying Berahino's not getting sold.
Yep.
I wonder if he gets sold now. And if Berahino goes there, I think that everybody on Liverpool gets elevated fantasy-wise. I believe that there's a lot of value to be had for everybody if Berahino is there, because he's such an energetic presence and he can put the ball in the back of the net,
yep,
which is what they so desperately need.
Sure do.
So Berahino, to me, if he goes to Liverpool, would be if Lallana, that means Lallana can probably start more too, which would be great.
Mm-hmm.
But that would actually be the first reminder of Liverpool form last year, is if Berahino and Sturridge actually wind up being the top of the Liverpool strike force, which would be a nice sight to see, actually. But on the Leicester side, is there anything for you here other than their goal hero? I'm going to try to pronounce his name, but Riyad Mahrez, I believe is how it's pronounced. But I believe he's going. I believe he's leaving for the African Cup of Nations. So he's not going to be available for all of January, but he's been really good recently. Do you have anything on the Leicester side in terms of fantasy production?
He's certainly the guy who's been their producer lately. Chris Mazinski had him in a bargain bin also, so we'll get
just about to mention that as well.
Yeah, Chris nailed that one also, but it's going to go back to Leonardo Uchoa as the only true option that they have on that squad, which, you know, he's certainly a fine option. I think he's got 7 goals already this season, which is a pretty solid amount for a team that is easily facing relegation again. So, but we kind of have talked about the Liverpool is not exactly airtight in the back. So, if there's a goal here, you figure it's going to be either the Ucho or Mahrez, right?
Or Jeffrey – nope, not Jeffrey Schlup, because he's also leaving for the African Cup of Nations. But Jeffrey Schlup
– well, they all have this week's game at least.
Yes, they do. But just going forward, the Leicester fantasy options not named Leonardo Uchoa are gone.
Yeah.
So just to throw that out there. The African Cup of Nations hits a couple teams pretty hard, Leicester being one of them, even though they're not really relevant anyway.
Yeah.
And Crystal Palace is the other one who we'll segue to now. Aston Villa – are at home against Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace are not, they're going to be without Jednak for the Asian Cup. They're going to be without Yannick Bolasie. That means that Jason Puncheon and Wilfried Zaha will be the beneficiary of all this newfound playing time, correct?
Yeah, it seems that way. The biggest issue we're going to have is free kicks, because I think Jednak was number one and Bolasie was number two. So I believe those now fall to Puncheon. I think Shamak also is a possibility, but I think Puncheon's a little more consistent there. It'll be, you know, we've kind of been begging them to play Puncheon and Zaha together all season, and it's just not happening. But you figure with Jednak and Bolasie gone, they're going to have to play both of them. And yeah, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. So Keith Millen, who is the acting manager right now for Palace, he puts Zaha as the false nine, Raheem Sterling style.
Yep.
That's something to really look at. I think there's a lot of potential there if that's going to continue, which would also mean that Shamak is not going to play much.
Yep.
So if Puncheon, that's the way that Puncheon and Zaha can play at the same time.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Just a matter of whether
anything to get people to see Wilfried Zaha, because he's really talented. He's just not playing.
Yeah, he would. And I, you know, the problem is he went to Palace to play because he obviously wasn't going to play at Manchester United. But
and he's still not going to.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I'd like to see them together. It's just a matter of whether Alan Pardew feels the same way when he takes over.
Do you feel like that's 100% there or no?
Newcastle announced on their website that they've given him permission to talk to him. And I feel like it's got to be a done deal. He played for Palace back in the day. He clearly has run his course at Newcastle. He seems like the kind of guy who is going to burn bridges everywhere he goes, and it seems like he's got the matches in his hand at Newcastle.
What a great metaphor.
Thanks.
That was really, really well done. I really have nothing else to say. That was just amazing. All right, so we'll go to Newcastle, speaking of Pardew, at home against Burnley. Burnley, who ruined everybody's Fantasy Premier League day last week.
Unbelievable.
Just outright absurdity for them scoring two goals.
Both of them were basically Mangala's fault, too. That's what bothered me even more. It wasn't weren't like any extra points against him for it, but like he had a horrific game.
It's really something. But Kieran Trippier, star of this podcast from Burnley at least, he leads the Premier League among defenders in chances created, but he only has one assist. Can you explain?
They just don't know how to finish. It's as simple. Danny Ings isn't finishing enough of the crosses. Trippier is throwing in, I think we said he has almost double the crosses as Aaron Cresswell, who's another guy that we love on this podcast. And he's playing well enough and setting up enough chances that you think there's no way he's going to be at Burnley next season. If not in January, like, why wouldn't somebody buy him now?
I was wondering that actually, because I mean, they get more for him now because at the end of in the transfer window, if they get relegated, which it looks like they're going to. Mm-hmm. But if they get relegated, there's no way they get a good price on Trippier. And Trippier might just say, I'm leaving.
Yep.
So if
Trippier and Ings, they should sell both of them.
If they sell both of them now, that would be waving the white flag. I understand why they wouldn't do that, but they got to sell at least one.
Yeah, I agree. I haven't really seen Trippier linked to anyone, which I'm confused about because he seems good enough that he should be getting some talk.
And he's young and he's local.
Yep.
So like we've said previously in the podcast, if it makes a lot of sense, it's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
So, especially not in January.
Yeah.
So, just keep that in mind. But on the Newcastle side, is Iose Perez the clear striker option going forward now?
Yeah, he has to be. Papi Cisse is facing a three-match ban for elbowing Seamus Coleman three times in their match and not getting caught. It's almost worse that he didn't get caught because now he's facing this ban, and whereas if he just picked up a yellow card, I don't think there was anything they could have retroactively done. But he's most likely going to appeal it, which could allow him to play. But if he's out, Perez is definitely the play here. Cisse, you know, we keep saying that, like, he plays very well when he plays, but we just don't know when that's going to happen. He got the start on Sunday, and he scored. So, but yeah, I think Perez is really the only option I'm looking at from a Newcastle side outside of Cisse, if you don't think this one's going to be a scoreless draw.
I honestly have no read on this game.
It's a weird one because of the Pardew stuff.
Yeah.
If he's gone, do the players essentially celebrate that he's gone by playing well, or do they struggle because he's not there?
This is like trying to bet on week 17 of the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're trying to guess motivation. That's really hard to do.
Yeah. I don't know. I've seen Steve Bruce's link to Newcastle now. If he gets canned at Hull, which seems so silly to me that you would get fired at Hull and yet get an increase to the Newcastle job. But I don't know. We'll see.
Like I've said previously as well, Newcastle is—it's as if the Packers were always terrible and always only known in Wisconsin. It's just—it's really kind of unbelievable that club. If you're looking for a misunderstood club as your favorite club, go to Newcastle. Mm-hmm. That's the one you should pick.
Yeah.
All right, but let's move on here to QPR. They're at home against Swansea. A couple storylines here. One, I cursed Charlie Austin by picking him last week. You've asked me to stop, and my short answer to that is no. Philip Redboni will be missing soon. He's going to the African Cup of Nations along with Yaya Toure and all the other Ivory Coast internationals January 5th. So they're going to be gone soon.
Except Drogba.
Except Drogba. That's true. He retired. So he's no longer an international player.
Right.
But Philip Redboni will be missing soon. You're asking if they should start Boney with Gomi. My quick answer to that is going to be no. I don't think they would play well together because they both occupy the same space.
The reason I asked that is I read an article the other day on ESPN FC. I apologize for whoever wrote it that I don't remember who it is. But the argument for playing the two of them together is that Gomis is nowhere near as good as Boney. And so waiting until Boney leaves and then throwing Gomi in there almost accentuates the difference. And so why not try to kind of ease him in to playing a little more often while Boney's still there in order to – it was essentially hoping that some of it rubs off on him. And so
– I don't think that strike forces learn through osmosis.
Well, that's I'm not
a scientist, but I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah. I don't know. They played with the two of them – up front together early in the season, and I'm pretty sure they both scored. In fact, Gomi might have had a brace. I don't think it was a Premier League match, though, so I don't know how much you can read into it. But
yeah, and there's also rumors linking Gomi out.
Yeah,
so
well,
it's a tough time to try to pick a Swansea striker going forward.
Yeah, well, once Boney leaves, yeah. But it seems weird that they would sell him Gomi only because they're probably selling Boney.
I think it's good timing that Gylfi Sigurdsson's scoring goals now.
Yeah, sure is.
So there's that. And I've ranked him accordingly this week. Let me actually go to our rankings, which are up on rotowire.com right now. Sigurdsson ranked in 10th, and I was apparently very bullish on him going up to 6th.
Well, it was I had him at 7, but Chris decided to keep him off. So I think that's why he fell to 10th.
It's QPR is not exactly a stalwart defensively. I don't understand the reasoning. One day we'll get him on this podcast. It's my New Year's resolution to get Chris Mozinski on this podcast.
Good.
It'll be a lot of fun. All right, we'll move on here to Hull City. They are floundering again, and they are at home against Everton, who are also floundering.
Yeah. This so one will end at minus two to minus one.
Exactly. We'll start with the American news here. Tim Howard is out 5 to 6 weeks. Do you think it makes much of a fancy difference? And would you start Joel in any situation where you would have started Tim Howard?
So we're going with Joel now as opposed to...
Well, I mean, that's what he
is
has.
What he goes by?
That's what he, yeah, it is what okay. he goes by on the back of his shirt.
I remember, I think it was last season, Howard missed a start and he started. And there were all these English beat writers that I follow on Twitter that were like, oh, wait, he's Joel or Howell or whatever it is. And they're like, I guess I've been calling him Robles for all these years. But anyway, I brought this up because it was more of the how much stock do you really put into Tim Howard? That is there any situation, you know, what matchup? Would you have been comfortable starting Howard in that you're not comfortable starting Robles in?
None.
Or Joel.
None.
Right.
I think it's Robles, by the way.
Robles?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Which kind of made me start reconsidering Tim Howard, who clearly hasn't been as good this year as he has previously. Frankly, he hasn't been nearly as good since the World Cup. But so there was that. And then how much do you discount guys like Leighton Baines and Seamus Coleman defensively now that Howard's not in there?
Were you really high on them in the first place is my point? It would be my point.
I know.
And you also have to consider that Hull got blanked by Leicester last
year. Yeah, they did. Hull's got 3 goals in their last 1 home game. So you got that going for him. But... I don't know. It made me question having Howard in any fantasy lineup at that point. If I was just ready to put in Joel, what are we calling him?
Joel.
We'll
just call him Joel.
Okay. So, yeah, I've never, you know, we've consistently said that we're ranking Leighton Baines in our rankings because of his offensive capabilities, which far outweigh any others. Which is why we're hesitant to do. To write Seamus Coleman in because he's not really producing as much as he has previously. But I ranked Baines this week, but I think he was the only Everton defender that I touched. And I certainly didn't leave Joel in there. Chris did. He likes this matchup. I think he's a little more anti-Hull than pro-Everton here. But
yeah. Well, I have 2 bits of nonsense to ask.
Please.
One is... the Seamus Coleman to Chelsea rumors, or to Manchester United, they're both there. Any chance of either coming to fruition?
I don't think he goes to United. I think they've had so many changes in the back that it seems weird to me that they would then add another one in the middle of the season. And Chelsea, I mean, he's obviously being brought in to replace Ivanovic, but...
Which I think would be a great idea.
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah, you correct. So then what happens to Ivanovic?
He would either be a center back in the rotation or he would just be a bench player.
And a center back in that rotation.
He's not a good right back. Not a good right back. And the crossing numbers prove it.
Yeah, but it's funny that you say in the center back rotation as if...
They need one.
Terry and Cahill. Right. They don't have one at all. It's Terry Cahill or Cahill and Terry. So, I don't know. I guess. I don't think they go that direction.
Let's think about Ivanovic as a right back. What's he good at?
Well, he was good at scoring last year and the beginning of this year on set pieces,
which you can you can also do from the center back position. Just throwing that out there.
He's surprisingly good at using his head since he's only 4'11".
Big bottom, small, as yes, I just would say.
Yes. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I get it that he, all right, I get it. But no, I don't think Coleman goes to Chelsea.
Yeah, wishful thinking on my part.
Yeah, I think Roberto Martinez has a legitimate desire to win the Europa League. Whether they can or not is another thing, but I think he recognizes that that's the easiest way to get to the Champions League.
Okay.
And so I think they're going to keep all of their pieces in order to try to do that.
That's true. That's a good point. And you can't use Coleman anyway because he's cup tied.
Right.
So maybe in the summer. But the second bit of nonsense is I just thought of what we should call Joel. He can be Superman's father's replacement. because he's not quite Jor-El.
I was going to go with the Christmas. It's too bad this was after the Christmas season, because I would have just gone with the first Jor-El. That might be going over your head, though.
I think yours is better. We'll go with that one. He's the first Jor-El.
Yeah.
All right. So we have probably the most lopsided matchup up next here. It's West Brom on the road going to Upton Park to face West Ham, who not yet, but will be soon without Diafra Sakho and Chico Koyate, who will be gone at the African Cup of Nations. For Senegal, I believe, for both of them. But
you could be right about that.
Yeah. They will both be gone, I can promise you that.
That will be the case, yes.
We've talked about trying to predict motivation, you know, comparing it to week 17 of the NFL. Where's West Brom right now?
They're without a manager. They don't seem to have really any true identity outside of Berahino, which is a problem since he doesn't even really play that much.
And he might not be there.
Right. They're 16th in the table, but they're 1 point out of the relegation zone. They seem like too big of a club to really be considered a relegation possibility, right? I mean,
I don't agree with that.
No.
I think Hull are too big for that.
Yeah. Only QPR and Leicester have lost more matches than West Brom this year.
Correct. Now, I've previously said Sunderland are relegation candidates, but they have decided to focus on defending, which has been a good thing.
Yeah, they'll keep them up.
They've Tony Pulis'd it up, and it's working very, very well.
Yep. 11 draws so far this season for Sunderland.
Yep.
Which keeps them 4 points out of the relegation zone.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. I have no answer to your what West Brom is, and I don't think we're going to know until we know who the next manager is.
Which,
I mean, God knows when that happens.
I would not be surprised if a name like Chris Hughton, the former manager of Norwich, that seems like the right job for him. Another Midlands club that needs to play some defense.
Yeah.
So Chris Hughton may be in line for that one. Just to throw a name out there. Or Tim Sherwood. Or Tim Sherwood if they want to go another direction.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if that's a job he wants, Sherwood.
I think he had the job he wanted and he couldn't do it.
Correct.
Yeah.
But Newcastle would be where Tim Sherwood may want to go next if he can go there.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be just that's the most we're going to talk about West Brom, unless Sato Berahino leaves the team or they announce a manager. I just don't see much to talk about there. Yep. But West Ham, you start everybody who plays?
Yeah. Okay. Literally all 11 of them.
Yep. I would if I could. you'll see in Daily Dose that I tried. So, the last game of the 10 o'clock hour is Southampton at home against Arsenal. A very interesting matchup. They're both tied at 33 points on the table. Ahero Elia is...
Do you know who's 2 points behind them? West Ham. Just laying that one out there.
It's a long season for the Southampton West Ham wager. Remember when we talked
about it? It wasn't so long when West Ham was in third.
That's true. Do you remember how many points back they were when we started the conversation about West Ham and Southampton?
I think it was eight.
Eight.
Yeah.
So just, you know, in not that much time, they made up 6 points. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, they were ahead of them. They actually had gotten ahead.
I'm just saying, at the end of the at the close of 2014, they have made up 6 points,
and are behind. I think that was the key point.
No, we said at the end of the season. We said at the end of the season.
Okay. Anyway, Southampton Arsenal.
Yes, Southampton Arsenal. Ahero Elia. It looks like it's a done deal.
Yeah, tell me everything you know about this guy.
He is incredibly quick, and he is.
You love speed.
Why not? You can't teach it. And it makes a decent difference when you're trying to put through balls through to a guy who's really fast. So Elia is a really good wide player. He's actually he was going to be a senior member of the Dutch team until he got hurt a lot, and he was on the fast track to start him at the 2010 World Cup, and he's been riddled by injury pretty much ever since. It's kind of like an Ibrahim Afellay, if you want to think of it as another the Barcelona flame out now. Elia to me could make a big difference, considering that he can play the Sadio Mane role when Sadio Mane is going to be gone for the African Cup of Nations.
Does he sit when Mane returns?
That's a great question. I believe that this is how we will find out. Because Mane was not starting every week.
Yeah.
So this could be a nice little tryout here for the on loan wingman.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice pickup at the right time.
And it didn't cost them a transfer fee.
Right. I was just about to say that too. Yeah. I think they, or maybe I was putting a lot of stock in Jay Rodriguez helping them at the end of the season.
That knee injury is
but
killing him.
That's it's going to be more than a year, which, you know, I get can happen, but they kind of keep pushing him back. And I just wonder if it's going to be like April by the time he's finally fit, which might be just too late for Southampton.
Yeah, and I think that's another reason why they got Elliott is because they can't count on Jay Rodriguez coming back. I think there's a very clear path to starting time, to playing time.
Yep.
I don't know if it's January 1st because I don't know if the deal will be complete by the time the game starts. But, it's certainly a possibility. I just don't think it's a good one for January 1st. But it would not surprise me, you know, come January 10th, the next time the Premier League comes back, that he plays.
Yep.
A decent amount of minutes too. I'm not talking about just like an 8 minute substitution. I think he plays, he might even start. That's just what I feel. But on the Arsenal side, who are gonna be the midfield three you feel? Because it looks like Walcott's close to returning.
Yeah.
Oxlade-Chamberlain got an assist.
Yeah.
Santi Cazorla, I don't know what he is. Podolski is likely gone.
I think they keep him around, but yep.
Oh, well, who do you think is going to be in the midfield attacking three consistently? And not just Alexis Sanchez. Let's say the other two.
I think it's definitely going to be Cazorla for a little bit longer. I think they'll probably have to rest him at some point just because he's played so many matches and he's played such a big role for them that when Ozil comes back, I think he'll take Cazorla's spot just because he's basically been playing for Ozil anyway. So I think the three, you know, it'll be Sanchez. I think they should do Ozil, Walcott, and Sanchez. I think those are their three best attacking midfielders. And then have probably Ramsey and Wilshere behind them if Wilshere ever comes back. And then essentially use Oxlade-Chamberlain and Cazorla as super subs. Because Oxlade-Chamberlain is very fast also, and I think he...
I like him.
Yeah, he and Walcott together would just be menaces. I mean, I wouldn't have any problem with them starting Sanchez up front and having Walcott and Oxlade-Chamberlain kind of flanking him, but...
That would be the shortest front three.
Yeah, sure would. Yeah, it's the anti-West Ham.
Correct.
But, I don't know, we'll... I don't know. It seems silly to say when everybody is healthy because we're talking about Arsenal here. So I don't even want to discuss it.
I'm telling you, that training staff's doing something wrong.
For years and years.
That's why it's got to be, it can't be flukes.
Yeah. They need to go talk to the guys at the Phoenix Suns and find out what they do.
They got to do more horse placenta, please.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So the last game of New Year's Day is a London derby. It's a nice one here.
Yeah.
Tottenham at home against Chelsea. Not quite a 3-point lane anymore for Chelsea here. But not a lot of squad rotation coming from Chelsea recently. Costa, Hazard, Fabregas, and Matic have all played through the entire holiday break. Do you feel that any of them sit in this game? I think Costa might.
It seems like the right time to sit Costa. Hazard is playing way too well right now. I feel like they can't sit him.
And they're going to have 9 days off after this.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Is it nine full? Yeah, it might be.
Well, I mean, they think there's an FA Cup match in the middle.
Right, which Fabregas probably plays that FA Cup match. I bet Hazard sits that one, so maybe. Fabregas and Matic have both missed matches recently. You know, they had a little break from their yellow card accumulation, so they haven't played quite as many matches.
Interesting to note, the only game Chelsea have lost is when Matic didn't play.
Yeah, yep. He's clearly their most important piece. You know,
I hope you're not being facetious, because I really do.
No. I think everybody else has a replacement who's certainly not an equal replacement, but they have a very, very high-level replacement. Where, you know, Costa, we have Drogba and Remy. Even Fabregas, you know, you can throw Oscar in that role, and he would be perfectly fine, I think. Hazard, you can play Schürrle on that side if you need to. But Matic, you're basically looking at John Obi Mikel. Theoretically, you could put Ramirez there, but the drop from Matic defensively to those two is far greater than the difference of any other player.
All right. And it wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't have an either or here. Harry Kane or whoever starts between Didier Drogba and Loic Remy, if it's not Costa.
I have a lot of faith in the Chelsea defense. So I'm going to take whoever the Chelsea starter is. I had no problem starting the Chelsea defense when they played West Ham or any of these previous matches. Particularly with Matic in there, I'm more pro Chelsea than I am, even on the road, than I am against any Tottenham attacking options. I don't think I ranked Harry Kane particularly high this week.
But how hard of a sentence was that to say as an Arsenal fan?
What?
That I'm pro Chelsea.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to talk about both Tottenham and Chelsea in the same sentence, first of all.
Yeah, that's fine. I've accepted that Chelsea are just on a different level than everybody else, so I don't even really consider that any kind of...
Even City?
Yeah, even City. I think each of them on their best day that Chelsea is absolutely superior to Manchester City.
I think that's very bold, but we'll get to more bold predictions now because we have Fred dropping on the ground. First of all, the most mediocre water bottle, and secondly, we also have our daily dose here with DraftKings.
Yeah.
So I'll let you start with the defenders because I went a different route here, I believe. So go ahead.
Okay.
And your goalkeepers.
Yeah, I played into your preview a little bit. I went with West Ham here. So I went with a 4,900 Adrian playing home against West Brom. And I paired him with a $3,000 Winston Reid. And then I coupled that with a 3,800 Martin Demichelis, who I think is the cheapest of the City options that we'll be playing. I was hesitant, you know, as we noted, Kolarov was much higher than everybody else, and I certainly wasn't going to pay $200 more for Mangala after last weekend's debacle. So I'll take the relatively limited Demichelis and hope for a header that goes in along with the clean sheet.
So I thought I went a different direction than you. I actually did not. I have Adrian as my goalkeeper, Winston Reid as one of my defenders, and the same exact theory behind maybe a headed goal goes in, but I picked 3,400 John Terry against Tottenham. I guess why not? I've previously said that he's more valuable now than Ivanovic.
Yeah.
And I still believe that.
Yep, that's fair.
So I picked one of the least expensive.
I was going to say that's a good price too.
Starts, yeah,
good price
for Chelsea. So if you get a Chelsea defender for 3,400, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, you're certainly not going to pay 4,800 for Ivanovic.
Never.
Yeah.
Not now.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. All right, and for my midfielders, I actually stayed inexpensive here, relatively inexpensive. So 5,100 for Leroy Fair of QPR at home against Swansea. And James Ward-Prowse, Southampton. Even though he didn't start last week, I think he will get the start this week against Arsenal at home. 5,400 for James Ward-Prowse.
I like both of those. Those are nice buys. I went with a $7,400 Stuart Downing, staying with West Ham, and then I did a $6,400 Adam Lallana, who I think at $6,400 is an absolute steal with the way that he's playing right now.
Yeah, I thought about Lallana as well, but I wanted to boost up my forwards this week because I think I found some decent matchups here.
Yeah, Lallana's 2,500 less than Raheem Sterling, which is absurd.
Interesting. I was actually looking for just now. I was looking for Saha, and he's. This is what I'm really looking at. I might substitute Zaha in because if he's going to play the false nine.
Yeah, you have to start.
At 4,000.
Yep.
That's a really good price. So that's the one that I have my eye on going into January 1st, whatever day that is, Thursday.
Yep.
So going into the new year, that's the one that I have my eye on.
Okay.
And that would likely be at the you know, probably for the, you know, substituting James Ward-Prowse, because I'm not sure if he's going to start either. So
yeah,
that's where I'm going to be looking. But my forwards, they're all big names. They're all very high priced. $8,400 for Wilfred Bony, $9,900 for Alexis Sanchez, and $9,500 for the still cursed Charlie Austin.
Wow. Why do you like any of those guys over Graziano Pelle at $9,300 or Harry Kane at $8,700?
Harry Kane's the obvious reason I picked John Terry.
Okay, yep. So why do you like Bony or... Why don't you like Welbeck at $8,500?
I love all of them, but I have Bony for me against QPR is a good matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Sanchez is just amazing this year, and Charlie Austin at home against Swansea, he tends to score a lot of his goals at home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that the other options aren't good options, and I still have $400 left over. And if I switch to Zaha,
yep,
I'll have $1,900 left over. So Bony may turn it to Diego Costa.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the opportunities are abound here.
Yeah, that's solid. That's very solid. I went with a $8,600 Christian Benteke home against Crystal Palace, $8,300 Andy Carroll home against West Brom. It's four West Ham players I have.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned it earlier. There's going to be a lot of West Ham talk in this.
Yep. And my flex is a $7,500 Steven Jovetic, who will obviously need to come out if he doesn't start. That'll be a game time call. But you know I can easily replace him with Romelu Lukaku, who we have barely spoken about today. Or haven't spoken about. He's also in the same range as Eozie Perez.
Oh, I totally forgot to mention this. They Everton last weekend crossed a ball into the middle and scored on it.
Sure did.
Crazy.
Sure did.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So those are kind of the other options in this range. Kevin Morales is a forward in DraftKings, so that he's there. Or I can go with a Oscar or something like that, which I probably wouldn't, but... I'm a Jovetic right now, thinking that I think he's got a pretty good opportunity.
I like Jovetic because there's volatility there.
Yep.
So not a lot of people are going. He has opportunity and volatility, which is two things that I look for.
You love it almost as much as speed.
Almost. If you look at my team, there's not a ton of speed on it.
No, there isn't actually.
So John Terry brings the reins, holds the reins back slightly.
Yeah.
All right, well, that will do it for us here on the Fantasy Soccer Podcast for the remainder of 2000.
Yeah, that's it.
Say now it warrants thirds, but Happy New Year. Do you have a New Year's resolution to go out on?
Just watch more soccer.
Well, mine is to not be as harsh to John Obi Mikel in the new year.
I'm sure he appreciates that.
Yeah, because the reason why is because I hope he's on another team.
That's right, yeah.
All right, and then I won't talk about it. And on that note, we will sign off here. Thank you again for joining us. We will catch you in 2015 on the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. For more great content, go to rotowire.com/soccer. It's all free, and it's all for you.